I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. My name is Jesse Romero, the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady, and I'm on duty. What about you, Terry?
Garrett, you bet. I'm the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Lebanese lover of Our Lady. And yes, Jesse, I'm on duty. I'm excited. I'll tell you why. We have a great show with Father Frank Pavone coming on. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court striking down the Louisiana law that would have limited states to just one abortion clinic. It's a 5-4 decision. And the effect of that in the future for the unborn and how we're going to help save more babies by supporting a candidate who's going to protect the unborn. For example, just last month, President Trump had an executive order on religious freedom that could also help limit abortions. So we're going to talk to Father Frank about that. As a matter of fact, I believe we have Father Frank Pavone with us right now. Father Frank, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Terry and Jesse, good to be with you both.
Well,
thank
God
you.
Love you. And thank you for being so generous, Father Frank, with us. Today we have that, but we also have some, I say sad news, but I never give up. Every time I fall down, my father used to say, I have one question to ask you. Did you get up? Well, we're going to get up each time we fall. And the news is that Bishop Sheen's cause from the Vatican saying for his cause for his beatification is now no longer possible. Well, I can understand.
Spiked.
But you know what? I believe that the Holy Mother, the Church, I might not see it, but believe me, Bishop Sheen's cause will come back and he will be beatified and canonized. I might not be here to see it, but think about this when we do a Fulton Sheen quote later in the show. But Father Frank, before we do that, we always go what we call soul food, which is the gospel. And the reading from today's mass is from Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27. Jesse, would you give us
some soul food?
If
Father could give us a little
commentary?
Inspiration. Yep. I'll read it and Father give us the inspiration behind
sure.
it. Yeah. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a violent storm came up on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. They came and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. He said to them, why are you terrified, O you of little faith? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, what sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey the gospel of the Lord?
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, this is a good example of something I often say in spiritual direction and in preaching. God is always the same. When we're in a difficult storm, we have to realize that the God who is close to us is not any different, less loving, less caring, or less close than when we are living the happiest day of our life. He doesn't change. We do. So for us, the time of storm seems different than the time of sunlight. The time of danger seems different from the time of security. But the Lord does not change. And there is where we put our confidence, not in the weather, so to speak.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
In whether people are for us or against us, or things are going well or ill, or the finances are up or down. No matter what the storm might be, let's always entrust ourselves to the one who never changes. He's right with us. He might be sleeping for a while, but of course, in another sense, God never sleeps. He's always got vigilant care, and he's already in our future. That's another beautiful thought I like to repeat. God is already in our future.
I love it.
And therefore, no better person to prepare us for it than him.
Well said, Father Frank. Jesse, your thoughts, and then let's get to Fulton Sheen. We got a lot to go today. Yes.
Again, when we think that our Lord is asleep,
yeah,
and like Father says, you know, that's anthropomorphic language. You know, we know that God as the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is always on duty, as we say here, Terry. He's always on duty.
Absolutely.
I love where it says that when the apostle said, Lord, save us. We are perishing. That should be the cry of every single one of us every single day. And that's one of the basic prayers in the Catholic Mass. The word Hosanna is a Hebrew word, which means save us.
Yep.
That's what Hosanna means. And when you say Lord or Adonai, save us, that's Hebrew. That's Lord, save us. That's a good cry for our morning prayers, for our evening prayers, asking God to save us, save our church, save our country. And that I call that the Matthew 7:7 principle. Our Lord says, ask and you shall receive. That's one of the criterias about entering into that sub-virtue of humility. We have to ask the Lord like little children. So that's a good template for today.
Well said, Jesse. And I'll just add one thought. Every single day, ask Jesus Christ for more faith. If you do that, your faith will grow. Guaranteed. I was taught that 45 years ago. Every single day, asking Jesus for more faith. You need strong faith to deal with what's going on in our culture today. Jesse, let's bring in Fulton Sheen on that locomotive.
Okay.
Here it comes. Full Sheen ahead. Father Frank, Jesse, check this out. This is so appropriate for today. Bishop Sheen said this, are you ready? In 1931. He said, the refusal to take sides on a great moral issue is in itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty, well, they lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction. Father Frank, Jesse, if that's not appropriate for today, then turn the mic off, man. This guy is prophetic. So I just want to remind everybody that we've got to get into this battle for life. And that's what we're talking about today with Father Frank for Pavone for Priests for Life. Go ahead, Jess. Hit it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. I wrote a book here. It's called Catholics Vote for Trump. Father Pavone, he endorsed the book. And I actually got criticized in a homily in Spanish. It went viral.
Yeah.
They just sent me the homily, a priest over in Fresno, California, a Hispanic priest.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, in Spanish, he dedicated a whole homily to Jesse Romero because I wrote the book. I guess
in support,
I betrayed the Hispanic community. And so as I read the homily, here's some one of the things that, first of all, I don't deserve the honors he actually gave me. He actually mentioned me alongside Archbishop Vigano. I don't deserve that honor, not even close. But the argument was, is that how can Jesse Romero defend a president that suggested during a White House briefing that injecting disinfectants could treat COVID-19? Now, I think with all due respect, I'm invoking paragraph 907 of the Catechism, which gives me the right to offer my opinion to our sacred pastors. And also that's Canon 212. I think this priest, in all due respect, what he's doing, he's taking President Trump's words and absolutizing them. First of all, President Trump's not a doctor. He's speaking off the cuff, and he's probably speaking tongue-in-cheek during this press briefing, which is basically, it's a humorous way of trying to get a serious point across. But, I mean, we can do that with anybody. We can pick and choose people's worlds with anybody and just isolate them. For example, I mean, as a Catholic, if somebody takes the Holy Father's phrase and he says, the Holy Father who said a while back ago, quote, some think that, excuse the language, that in order to be good Catholics, we have to be like rabbits. Again, do we take that literal or is that tongue in cheek? Or when the Holy Father said, he said a couple of years ago, he says that he was the devil. We're not going to take that literally. That's tongue in cheek. And or when he tells the young people in World Youth Day, make a mess in the church. Is that literal or is that a tongue in cheek? Again, I'm not an apologist for President Trump per se. I'm not here to protect or defend everything that comes out of his mouth. I'm just defending his principles. I can tell you that his principles, his party platform is congruent with Catholic non-negotiable moral teaching. And the opposite party, the Democrat Party, is incongruent. It's incompatible with Catholic moral non-negotiable teaching. So I'm going to reach out to this Hispanic priest and try to have a conversation with him and see if we can speak as the Bible says you know, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another.
Well said, Jesse. I want to remind everybody, Archbishop Joseph Strickland will begin his newly week program on Virgin Most Powerful Radio on July 7th. And what the good bishop is going to be doing, and just a quick note, for those stations who are listening to us right now, we now got an additional 100 Catholic stations to pick up the Bishop Strickland Hour. Praise God for that. But if you know of a Catholic radio station who wants it, it's free. They can just go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. But here's the point. He's going to talk in the first segment about the cultural issues of the day. Like, for example, he's going to talk about today with me, Archbishop Cordeleon, what he did in San Francisco on Saturday with a minor exorcism, make his comments. Then he's going to open up the Catechism of the Catholic Church every week and teach the faith. Remember what bishops are to do? Teach, govern, and sanctify? Well, he's going to do what Archbishop Sheen did 60, 70 years ago. He's going to teach here at Virgin Most Powerful every Tuesday at 12 noon, starting the 7th of July. Now, when we come back with Father Frank Pavone, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court on Monday voted 5-4 to strike down a restrictive Louisiana abortion measure. Now, we're going to talk about what's really at stake here. And also, I want to also bring up Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas making a really strong statement just this week regarding Roe versus Wade and how more of our Supreme Justices who are joining Defending Life could come in the next couple of years, provided we have the right guy in the White House who's going to do that. And again, I'm going to be honest with you. Not right versus left. This is right versus wrong. President Trump is the man that's been picking Supreme Court justices to defend life. When we come back, we're going to put Father Frank Pavone on the hot seat here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, we got Father Frank Pavone. Well, let me ask you, Father, before we go on to the Supreme Court, I just want to ask you, Some people will criticize us because, again, you and me, we're open about our support for Trump. Okay, we're not hiding under the rock. We're very public about it. You're all over the media. I've got a presence as well. I've got a book. It's in Spanish and English now, A Catholic Vote for Trump. So when President Trump says something off the cuff, I mean, people just absolutize it and they say, look what he said here. And that's, again, if you hold everybody to that standard, boy, oh boy, they'd pick every one of us apart, because especially when you're just talking off the cuff without some dummy card. So what would you say about, I mean, this priest actually, it was a very strong homily. He said that President Trump told people to drink flu disinfectants, and a lot of people followed what he said, and a lot of people around the country have died. Now, what would you say about us as Catholics that are supporting the president? What would you say about the fact that those that have an antipathy against him take every word that he says and they absolutize it as if he can't have any humor or any sarcasm?
You know, Jesse, I'm sorry, I'm glad you bring this up. First of all, for him to say that, for the priest to say that, that's possible only if Uhol already has such a twisted and low opinion of the president that he could interpret it that way. I mean, this is Trump derangement syndrome. It is, I am convinced, it is a psychological malady that is out there. I mean, we talk about vaccines. We got to develop some kind of a vaccine or some kind of a medication for those who are on Trump derangement syndrome. How on earth? I mean, this priest just, I mean, he undermines his own credibility. I mean, how on earth can anybody seriously believe this? The president, you know, one of the strengths of the president is precisely that he got into office without being a politician. This man thinks and talks like, you know, the average American does across the country, although by no means is he average in his ability to get things done. But the point is that, come on, people have to start thinking common sense. And if we're talking about in a Catholic context, did this priest forget about the sin of rash judgment or detraction or calumny? I mean, I think those three things are pretty clear in the catechism. So that's one thing. But then from a political perspective and from a government perspective, did this priest take a look at the 200 judges that the president just got onto the court in the last 3 years and that are going to serve for a lifetime of service on our federal courts, pro-life judges, pro-religious freedom judges? These judges, one or more of these judges, could make sure that that priest can get up and give a homily in the first place. When you look at what the way the Democrats attack religious freedom, I mean, that priest better thank God that President Trump put those judges on the courts, because one day they're gonna be helping him do his work. I mean, we got to think about the things that last. We got to think about the things that really matter. You know, people complain about things the president says. They complain about his tweets. Listen, I would rather have a president whose tweets I don't like than whose judges I don't like.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Well said. Well said.
Terry?
Hey, Father, I just want to jump right into it. And this is the Supreme Court striking down the Louisiana law that would have limited state to one abortion clinic. It was a 5-4 strike down about the what we would consider restrictive Louisiana abortion measure. And it is a major win for the people who want to kill unborn babies. But again, like I said, Father, every time we fall or we get knocked down, we got to get up. What really is at stake? And again, Father, I want you to give us your perspective that, you know, the judges, how important it is to have pro-life Supreme Court judges, because like Clarence Thomas, he's basically coming out and just saying Roe versus Wade should be overruled. I love having someone say that. Could you imagine, Father Frank, having two or three more Clarence Thomases on the Supreme Court? Because that would obviously make the wheels change in the sense that unborn babies would be protected. But the question is, can you summarize exactly what this means and what is this Louisiana law and also the Texas law? Give us the nuts and bolts of what's actually going on here, Father.
Oh, gladly. I have the decision here in my hands, and I've been very much involved in this case. In fact, if you read this opinion carefully, one of the things you're going to see in here is Priest for Life.
Good.
Because we were involved in this right from the very beginning. What's going on here is this.
Tell me.
For the last couple of decades, actually, I have been in communication with and on the ground there in Louisiana, in communication with pro-life activists who have been uncovering the absolutely sordid, unsafe, unsanitary conditions and malpractice going on in the abortion facilities in Louisiana and, in fact, around the country. Anyone who follows my work knows that this is a big part of what we have been exposing over the years. So Louisiana has these situations. Now, we're talking about, let's give a couple of concrete examples.
Sure.
Abortionists operating on women when they're not trained in abortion.
Wow. Staff
administering medication who are not qualified. Expired medication and medical equipment being used. Emergency medical equipment not being there. A jar of sterilizing solution that's been reused so many times that there were particles of baby's flesh floating around inside. Women being sent home from the abortion clinic and the head of the baby was still inside their uterus. Things like this have been going on in Louisiana and around the country. So the legislators of the state of Louisiana were very aware of these problems. And so they took action. And they passed a law to try to increase the protection that women's health would have if they go to these clinics. And one of the ways they did that was they said this. They said, look, in all our other ambulatory surgical facilities around the state, the doctors are required to have hospital admitting privileges.
Sure.
But the abortion clinics, they don't. They don't have that requirement. So why don't we make the abortionists come up to par with the rest of the medical community?
Mm-hmm.
So some people look at this law and they say, oh, you know, it's, you know, they're restricting women's rights. Well, wait a minute. We're protecting women's health is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they passed the law. And by the way, it was introduced by a Democrat lawmaker and signed by a Democrat governor, interestingly enough, because it seems like in all the rest of the country, the Democrats can't take a single step that's pro-life. So why would the hospital admitting privileges be a benefit? Let's look at that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the Louisiana abortion facilities were hiring abortionists based only on one thing. Do they have a medical license? Now, that doesn't even guarantee that they're trained in abortion because they hired an ophthalmologist and a radiologist to do abortions.
Oh.
So first of all, the hospital credentialing process would make sure, okay, do they have the training in the area that they're going to actually practice? Number two, do a background check on the doctor. They were hiring doctors without doing background checks. Hospital admitting privileges procedure would require that they get the background checks. Third, continuity of supervision. If you just get a license, well, you know, once a year you fill out a form, you pay a fee, you continue practicing. But with hospital admitting privileges, there's a bit more of a rigorous, continuous process of evaluation of the standards of care that doctor is utilizing. These are just some of the reasons why the legislature decided that, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have hospital admitting privileges. Now, Terry, like you said, you know, some people were saying, oh, well, you know, if they put this law into effect, you know, the number of abortion facilities in Louisiana would only go down to one.
Right.
But actually, the court record shows that those doctors in Louisiana could have gotten hospital admitting privileges, maybe with one exception. And the other facilities would have been able to actually stay open, except that now there would have been more oversight on these unscrupulous doctors. And The point is that, you know, the court, the Supreme Court, one of the many mistakes it made yesterday with this decision was to overlook a lot of this record and a lot of the details that had been revealed as this case made its way not only through the legislature, but up through the federal court system. Bottom line is that the Supreme Court used a way of evaluating these abortion laws that is really unheard of in jurisprudence. What they said was that if a law like Louisiana passed puts the slightest burden on people getting an abortion, we don't want it. We got to strike it down. The court had said in the past that if there's a substantial obstacle, in other words, an undue burden, as they called it, then the law would be unconstitutional. Now, even that is problematic because how do you, there's no definition of what an undue burden is. But here they're not even taking the trouble to show that it would be a substantial obstacle. They're basically using the reasoning of the other side, which is, hey, we don't want any burden at all. We don't want any hindrance. We don't want any delay. We don't want any inconvenience whatsoever to someone who wants to get an abortion. You got to part the Red Sea and let them through. In fact, you have to escort them. You have to give them a red carpet. You have to do everything to make it easy, and easy as can be to get an abortion. That's the thinking of the abortion industry. And that's essentially what they argued to the court in this case. Never mind standards of women's safety. No. We just have to make it as quick and easy as possible for them to get an abortion. And that's offensive.
It is offensive, and it doesn't make any sense at all. And aren't we forgetting someone? Let's just be honest. That baby inside that mother is a baby. And I think that once we get that accomplished, where we have a dignity for that third person, you know, you got a husband and a wife and the baby has some rights, then these other issues don't seem to be issues at all, Father. So I'm just going to, when we come back from the break, I want to ask a little bit more, now that you've laid out what was the issue, how we also can try to support President Trump, who's going to be picking new Supreme Court justices in his next administration. If we can get him elected, that would be great. But also, I want to throw something at you about the Court Justice Clarence Thomas, what he had to say about Roe versus Wade. Because to me, I was like, wow, let's do it. So we'll come back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show with Father Frank Pavone from Priest for Life to defend life in season and out. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst.
Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Praise God. This is Rated PG. We've got Father Frank Pavone. I have nothing but the utmost respect for Father Frank. He's definitely putting his priesthood on the line every single day. Father Frank, I want to ask you a big picture before we go down to the micro. You and Terry talking about micro stuff, which is good. I'm glad. But I want to go big picture for a second here. I watched a documentary a few days ago. It was called Pandemic, The Threshing of America. It's put out by Randall Terry, who's a convert to the Catholic faith. He gives basically a salvation history, biblical worldview, where he connects the dots. Everybody that I've sent this documentary to, they're calling me up. They're saying, Jess, I get it, big picture. We have to stop abortion at all costs. This is probably the chastisement of God falling upon the West, upon this country, upon the world, upon the church. As the Bible says in the letter of Peter, judgment begins in the household of God. I believe Randall Terry did a masterful job of telling us the problem in our country and in Western civilization, the butchering of babies every day to Moloch in a grinder. And it doesn't stop. We got political parties. We got corporations. We've got nonprofits supporting this. We got Supreme Court justice supporting this. And God is smelling the stench of blood day in and day out as the babies continue to be hacked and hacked and hacked and butchered. Do you believe that Randall Terry's documentary is a must-see for every Catholic to make them, two things. Number one, desire to live in a state of grace so you can be part of the Team Jesus. And number two, vote for President Trump so that if we have even a scintilla of a possibility of striking Roe versus Wade and stopping the feeding of babies to the goddess, God Moloch, it can only happen if Trump, President Trump, gives us two more conservative Supreme Court justices. Your comment about this documentary is, Randall Terry, is he sharp as a laser?
Well, I know Randall. I've known Randall for a very long time and was privileged to accompany him also on his journey into the Catholic Church. As many, you know, many pro-life leaders have made that journey, and it's very gratifying to see. You know, he. I always watch the these kinds of documentaries. And I think, as you said, that really anyone who's concerned as a Catholic or beyond the Catholic Church, anyone who's concerned about the future of our church, of our nation, of our civilization, really ought to watch these things. It doesn't mean they're going to agree with everything that's in there. But it is a very, very, very smart and beneficial thing to do to see the story, okay, and to see what's being said. There's no question that what you said is true, that as abortion continues, first of all, it's a butchery that is hidden. It is veiled. We have to rip the veil off of it. Yep. And secondly, it is poisoning everything. The U.S. bishops said this in their document, Living the Gospel of Life, where they said, you know, it's a poison. Roe v. Wade has been a poison on our system, because you can't have the legal system, you know, permit the killing of babies without the whole thing getting infected with this absolutely upside down kind of morality, where somehow a crime, an act of violence, is transformed into a right. Once you do that, everything else falls apart, and that's what documentaries like this clue us into and warn us about.
Well said, Father. Before I ask you the question about Supreme Court Justice Clarence, we've got James in California wanting to ask a question. James, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother. What's on your mind? Hello, James.
Yeah, do you hear me?
I can hear you fine, brother. What's on your mind? You're on with Father Frank Pavone, who's one of my favorite priests, James. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that's really upsetting to me is that, you know, in all this talk, even about the Louisiana law, how they could have, you know, these sterile types of conditions, what we're not hearing is this. You know, I had an opportunity to listen to a gentleman called Anthony Lamentino. He performed thousands of abortions, and the gruesome way in which these babies are killed, where they have this instrument called a softener that goes in, and at the end it has these claws. And when it grabs a hold of you like a bulldog, it poos, and they poo hard. And out comes a limb. Ooh. Out comes an arm. They crush the skull, and you see the spine come out. And when we talk about abortion, we talk about it like if it's, you know, we're having a discussion about sports or something. And it really, I mean, it's sickening. And I think that God, the blood of these babies, cry out. And when we don't hear enough, is the pain that these babies suffer. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that what's going to happen to this nation, I may be wrong, I don't know. I really believe that we are going to be attacked by a foreign nation, and we are going to be humbled, because God uses three things, uses the sword, famine, or captivity. And I think that's where we're headed next. And with this abortion things, it is just despicable. And that's my statement. It's just really sickening.
And James, thanks for joining the Catholic Church, because you're a real blessing. And I know Virgin Most Powerful had a role in that, so I always want to hear from you. Father Frank, what do you think of James's comments? He's spot on?
I want to thank James for making that comment. Dr. Tony Levitino is a good friend of mine, actually, and he serves as one of our medical advisors here at Priests for Life. Great. He used to be an abortionist, which is why he can speak with authority about how these abortion procedures are done. He did thousands of them himself. And then he became pro-life. And now he's a very strong pro-life speaker. And what you say, James, is very true. And I always put it this way, and it ties in with what we were saying a moment ago about how this violence is under the cover of secrecy. Mm-hmm. And Jesse, it ties in with what we were saying about the political end of this. Because I always challenge not only the Democrat politicians like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, I challenge also anyone that supports abortion with this simple challenge. Here it is, and it goes right to the heart of Jim's excellent observation. My challenge to them is this: describe what you defend. Because they defend abortion. Oh, it should be legal. Oh, we can't take away this right for women. The Supreme Court here is saying, oh, we can't even let them wait an extra hour, you know, to get their abortion. Just, oh, you know, take away all the obstacles. So they're defending this procedure, but they never dare to describe it. Because when you start describing it, then you're talking about the arms and the legs being pulled off and the skull being crushed and taken out piece by piece. And these are the things that make people recoil in horror. And they say, what are you talking about? And you know what they say to us when they first hear that? They say, oh, you're making it up. And it's like I say to them, okay, well, then go ask the abortionist, you know, ask Tony Levitino. Go to get the medical textbook. The medical textbooks on how abortions are done. Our public information is not secret information. I've got them right here on my bookshelf. So thank you, James. That was a great observation.
God love you, James. Keep it up. Father Frank, here's my question. The Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, he's coming out very strong about Roe versus Wade should be overruled, but he's also saying that Roe is grievously wrong for many reasons. He said that the most fundamental is that its core holding, that the Constitution protects a woman's right to abort her unborn child, finds no support in the text of the 14th Amendment. And Thomas said that the idea that the framers of the 14th Amendment understood due process clause to protect the right to abortion is crazy. And I think that he's nailing it from what I could see, Father. That's my take.
Yeah, Justice Thomas's dissent is probably the best part of this whole decision.
What did he have to say in that dissent?
Yeah, what he said was when the other justices were talking about, particularly the Chief Justice and the majority, they were talking about relying on precedent.
Yeah.
He said, no, the precedent is wrong. In other words, he's of the mind that you don't just keep adhering to previous decisions if those previous decisions are erroneous and if those previous decisions don't have anything to do with the text of the Constitution. So he says, he goes all the way back to the beginning. He goes back to Roe, and he says, let me just read a few of the quotes here. He says, the putative right to abortion is a creation that should be undone. He goes on to say that, in the passage that you quoted, he said, look, at the time of the 14th Amendment, abortions were prohibited. Yeah. So how could they have thought that it was included in it if it was still prohibited? And they didn't change that. Then he goes on to say this. Let me get another one of these great quotes. He said, the idea that these framers understood the due process clause to protect the right to the abortion is farcical. The fact that it took this court over a century to find that right, a century, proves that it was more than hidden. It simply was not and is not there. So, I mean, he's very, very, and he's made this point before in other decisions. And he's also made the point that no matter how long the court has upheld a certain precedent, and they call stare decisis this idea that we have to abide by precedent. No matter how long a court has upheld that, if it was wrong to begin with, then it's the duty of this court to overrule it. And we need more justices on the court that are going to think just like that. The author of the opinion, by the way, yesterday was Breyer, who's the second oldest member of the court. Oh. He's 82. Ginsburg is 87. Mm-hmm. You know, eventually they're not going to be on the court anymore. And the question, of course, is who's going to name their replacements. And that's why this is an election issue. And it's good that the Supreme Court ruled on abortion at this point in time, even though they ruled the wrong way. Mm-hmm. It was close. It was 5-4. It raises again for the voters the fact that when they choose a president and also when they choose their U.S. senator, they are also shaping the Supreme Court for the future.
Well said, Father Frank. And I will just say this. Dred Scott, back in the 19th century, was saying that, you know, black people aren't people. And that was wrong. We finally changed that. So people who tell me the Supreme Court makes a decision, we have to live with it, that doesn't mean that they made the right decision. And that's what the judge is saying. And I think that how are we going to make right decisions, in my humble opinion, is get the right men and women in those positions to make it right. And I think President Trump has demonstrated that, even with his executive order on religious freedom. That's helping us protect the unborn. So I would say, let's make it clear in 90 days that we vote a pro-life president in so that we can get this turned around. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Frank Pavone for Priest for Life is here. We'll come back with more to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Salve Verez. This is Father Ripperger, Superior of the Society of the Most Sorrowful Mother and Spiritual Director of Liber Christum. I would like to personally invite you to a gathering of fathers and sons, July 13th through the 17th, at the historic Boxar Ranch in Cora, Wyoming. Located in the Bridger Wilderness, the ranch offers a number of outdoor opportunities for rock climbing, canoeing, hiking, horseback riding, small arms, as well as black powder instruction, forge and anvil workshop, all with expert instructors, as well as conferences on the masculine role in the preservation of the Catholic faith, and evening fire pit theological discussions. For details, see Liber Christo website, www.liberchristo.org. That is www.liberchristo.org.
Can the baby hear me? How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
You know, a lot of people are still using, Father Pavone, they're still using the... I looked at the homily of the priest in Fresno, I won't mention his name, that basically criticized my book, and how can any Hispanic vote for Donald Trump? They're still using the same arguments in a lot of pulpits where modernism reigns free. The old seamless garment documents, basically saying that I, Jesse Romero, as a lay Catholic, I don't understand the difference, the nuances, and that abortion is just one of many issues. Father, is abortion just one of many equal issues when it comes to voting? Last time I checked with the USCCB, they've actually said that it's the preeminent priority, November 16th, 2019. And Pope John Paul II, back in 1988, says that we have to oppose abortion and with maximum determination. So is this just one of many issues? Can you speak to that?
Not according to the U.S. bishops, it isn't. Like you just said, they just recently reaffirmed that it's the preeminent issue. And by the way, the Pope agreed with them. And because it's not just based on the teaching of the bishops, it's based on common sense. But the bishops articulate that common sense where, for example, in Living the Gospel of Life, again, that great document they issued in 1998, which, by the way, we've established a special website, gospeloflife.net, that people can study that document in preparation for the election, gospeloflife.net. The bishops say, look, it's like a house. Obviously, there are many pieces to the house. And the walls and the cross beams and the roof and everything. So they say, yeah, obviously there's a lot of different issues. We all acknowledge that. And obviously all the issues are important and they are all interconnected. That's actually what we were saying earlier when we said that Roe v. Wade poisons our entire system of law and morality. Everything is interconnected. We know that. But then the bishops go on to say the house with all these interconnected parts has a foundation. And the foundation of the house, that is the foundation of every issue, is the right to life. Abortion, they said, attacks the foundation. So what happens is if you try to have nice looking walls and pretty and strong cross beams and you have no foundation, what's going to happen to that house? All right, it'll all collapse. And that's what happens when we take away the right to life. We're taking away the soul of every issue because, you know, if a politician comes along and says, well, I have a great education plan, you know, or you know what the Democrats like to say these days, healthcare is a human right. Well, how can it be a human right if you can take it away from some humans, namely the ones in the womb?
Amen.
When you let that child be, when you say, well, because the court said so, I can, you know, permit somebody to have an abortion. Well, then what happened to that child's health care? For that matter, what happened to their education? What happened to their right to be protected from terrorism? What happened to their right to immigration? You took everything away when you denied that child's right to life. And therefore, And Jesse, that quote that you mentioned from John Paul II, that came from his exhortation, Christi Fidelis Laici, and he said there, you know, if we don't defend the right to life with maximum determination, then when we cry out for other rights, those cries, which are justly made, are nevertheless, he used two words, false and illusory. Because you've taken away the foundation. So, yes, it is the foundation. It's not just one of many issues.
So, Father Frank, we've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about the election that's coming up November 4th and how we as responsible Catholics can vote according to our moral conscience. You have some websites that you'd like to give out. I never have you on without saying go to Priest for Life, where you have the platform of each Democratic and Republican parties, so that people can read actually what they believe. But what else can we do to help ensure the unborn babies are going to have rights in the future?
We got to get active in this election. Our overall election website that we have is prolifevote.com. Prolifevote.com. Now, if you go there, friends, which I really encourage you to do today and keep coming back to it frequently between now and the election. And by the way, Terry and Jesse, the election this year starts earlier than ever. We need to be thinking more of September than November.
Got it.
Because especially with the pandemic, states are putting different rules in place now. Voting is going to be starting earlier and earlier. And it's very important that we consider the election to be right now. So prolifevote.com. And what they will see there is, first of all, a page where they can get that comparison you just mentioned.
Yeah.
They can download it. It is neutral. It is C3 friendly. Churches can distribute it, et cetera. And then they'll also see our election prayer campaign. Why not? I mean, we should be all praying each day for the election, but then we can have pastors have the people say the prayer, put it on the church bulletin, put it on the church website. So we have a prayer campaign, we have the voting information, and then we have a volunteer program. If people want to sign up to help know what they can do to help with their election in their area, if they want to help make phone calls, if they want to help distribute literature, we do have trainings.
Good.
You know, people can spread information online and do all kinds of other things like that, give things to their pastors. Again, prolifevote.com, it has everything there. All the sign up forms that people can volunteer for this training. I mean, now's the time, friends. We got to jump in full force and we can all make a difference in this election.
And I also want to make a pitch, Father, because I believe in Priests for Life so much that I would like you to, our listeners, write a check to Priests for Life. And I'll tell you why. It takes money to go out and send out literature. It takes money to print the material. I know as well as you do that it takes some money. And here's my point. Is there enough evidence for you, our listener, and I hope the answer is yes, that would convict you of being pro-life and not being sitting on the side? Remember what Bishop Sheen said at the beginning of the show? He said this. He said, the refusal to take sides on a great moral issue is in itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. We cannot be silent on this issue. We have only a certain amount of time. Like you said, September, really. It's right around the corner, and we have to get involved. So I want to encourage everyone, write a check, Priest for Life, go to his website, be a monthly donor. I think monthly donors are what supplies us here at Virgin Most Powerful to pay our bills every month. Father Frank, monthly donors, can they do that on your website? Can they become a monthly donor?
Yes, absolutely. The website I just mentioned, prolifevote.com, they'll see the donate button. But if they just want to go to prolifegift.org, they'll see all the different options, write a check, become a monthly donor, give online, prolifegift.org. I appreciate you mentioning that because, you know, unlike the abortion industry, you know, they get the mega millions of dollars through foundations and unfortunately also still through our tax dollars. But we rely just on the faithful people that are watching us.
Well said, Father. Jesse, what do you want to wrap it up with? Because this is an election that many people will say this, Jess, and we've said it. This election is what is really, really important. Look at our country right now. We're all in tangles. There's so much going on with these things that are happening with...
Let me make a comment.
Go ahead, Jess.
Here's what I think. Father, tell me if I'm tracking in the right direction. As I contemplate and in my silent time in prayer, this image keeps coming to my mind.
Yeah.
The violence that a baby experiences in the womb. And then I see the violence on the street.
Mm.
I believe, and I may be all wet, but I believe that God is allowing us, his permissive will, mm-hmm. is allowing us to experience a microcosm in our cities of what babies have been experiencing in the womb since 1983. And I see this, especially after seeing Randall Terry's film, as the permissive will of God in place, the chastisement of God has fallen upon the church, upon the West, upon America, upon the world.
Amen.
And we have to go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. There has to be personal repentance. There has to be national repentance. Father, am I on to something?
I think so. You know, I mean, it's always spiritually wise, no matter what's going on around us, to ask a simple question. What is God saying in all of this?
Amen.
And it seems to me what he's saying when we see such violence on our streets is a very simple question. Is this what you want? Do you want violence? And scripture talks about making a covenant with death. And that's what this whole abortion industry is. The Democrat Party has made a covenant with death. And it's like God wants to bring us to the point where he shakes us up and so that we can say, you know what? I don't want it. This is not what I want. I don't want death in any form. And, we need to, Jesus said, be smart and be able to read and interpret the signs of the times.
Well said, Father Frank. And again, your website, there's several. Oh, one more thing I never like to go. If somebody's listening that they have a friend or a relative that's had an abortion, Father,
yes.
Reach out to those folks, please.
AbortionForgiveness.com. I serve as the pastoral director of Rachel's Vineyard Worldwide, the largest ministry for healing after abortion. And if you go to AbortionForgiveness.com, you'll see where we have our retreats or individual confidential counseling. Healing is available. We who reject abortion do not reject those who've had abortions.
Amen. Well,
Father, you're making a difference in the life of a lot of priests. I can just tell you, my pastor, Father Craig Freely, he's a retired Air Force pilot. He used to fly F-16s. He's a lay vocation. He looks at your stuff all the time, and he tells me, he says, Father Frank Pavone is more inspirational than any Air Force officer that I ever flew combat missions with. And that's somebody who's retired from the Air Force, and he looks up to you as one of the most stalwart priests in the country. In fact, he says, I'm going to make posters, placards of the party platforms, and I'm going to put them, he says, by August, probably August or September, on every door of my parish.
Awesome.
So people could see 4x4 party platforms from Father Frank Pavone's website comparing the Democrats and the Republicans. So you're inspiring a lot of priests out there, trust me.
Not only priests, Father Frank, but Bishop Joseph Strickland is also a big fan of your work, and he's going to be on our radio show next week after the Terry and Jesse Show, brand new show of the hour with Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas. Father Frank, thanks again for joining us. Could you give us a blessing, please?
With the relic of John Paul II.
Oh, I love it.
God bless all of you, the Father, the Son.
Amen. Thank you, Father Frank. Jesse Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's be holy or die trying. Let's live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Stay away from that state of mortal sin. Don't park your car there. Don't cruise by there. Don't get a drink of water. Don't use the bathroom. Get out of there as soon as possible. Terry.
Up next, the Bible with the Barbers. And here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, we want to thank you for allowing us to bring people like Father Frank Pavone from Priest for Life on our show. We couldn't do it without you. May God richly bless you. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, full sheen ahead. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, May the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.